Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Now, you know, this is Christmas Eve. The man set aside. And I pray that you are using for what it should be. And that is for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And using this time to worship Him as we should be doing every day. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we get into your word today, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, and to give us the truth, Father, of this your word, and that He can open our hearts and minds to be receptive. Now, Father, be with us in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas Eve. All right. Hang on here with me now. We're going to be in two places this morning. You learn something all the time. And the more you're in God's Word, the more you learn. Yeah. I have always used Isaiah 53 as a prophet about the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, we're going to deal here with Isaiah chapter 9. So I'll give you a minute to get there. Then we'll be going back, if the Lord leads us, we'll be going back into chapter 9 of Matthew. And I want you, pardon my voice this morning, this dangness is really getting it messed up. All right. Here in chapter 9 with Isaiah, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly affected the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. And he's talking about there, and actually even in the next few verses, this dimness he's talking about is of Israel's rejection, which was especially prevalent in the northern tribal areas of Zebulun and Naphtali, which had suffered greatly under the Assyrian invasion. You see, they got an invasion coming. And as I've told you many and many times, God knows it all. And he is in control of everything. Man, a lot of times we don't understand why he will allow some things, but he knows. And that's really all that matters, is in him knowing. Now, this Assyrian invasion, Galilee is named and identified with the nations. Because you see, Galilee, the nations there, are Gentile nations. They were not godly nations. They were idol worshippers for the most part. And to those in the darkness of the north, God promised to send a great light, which is quoted in Matthew chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, as being fulfilled by Jesus, in Jesus' ministry in Galilee. And the prophet sees these events as though they were already happening. Thus he predicts the future with certainty as though it had already come to pass. And now, as we pick up here with verse 2, we're going to see a lot of these things mentioned. Verse 2, the people that walk in darkness, in other words, they're walking in sin away from God, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. I'm talking about the Gentile nations, which most of us today, here in the United States, our ancestors came from some of those nations. And if we could really trace all the way back, we'd probably find a lot of idol worshipers in our bloodline. But even though today, if you are truly one that walks with God, you're going to find in your family right now a lot of darkness and a lot of that will be against you. They really don't want anything to do with you. And they'll shun you if they can. I know. I've got them. I've got them in my family that don't want me around at all. Now, 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. In other words, they want this worldly increase. That's what's bringing them joy instead of being joyful about the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Now, what you see here in Isaiah's time, most, with the exception of the prophets, know very little about the Lord God. And they wasn't keeping the law. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Now, 5, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. You know, none of this we don't understand. Now, but we do know that there's a lot taking place here that we really wouldn't want to be in or involved in. Just as things that's going on today. We got a lot of things going on out here around us that we don't need to be involved in at all. 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you see, another thing that a lot of people don't really understand about the Lord Jesus Christ is, you see, he's not just the Son. That is God himself stepped out of heaven in the form of man and as the Son of God in order to make a way for you and I to have to repent and make heaven our home so that our lives could be changed to be what we need to be in order to be pleasing unto him. And you see, he's telling us there. He's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. You see, it's all rolled into one. Now, 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, you see, this gift child in this passage is the same divine child as Emmanuel, again using the prophetic perfect. And the prophet sees him as though he were already born. Wonderful Counselor is actually one term in Hebrew. A wonder and indicative of a miracle is often used in parallel with king. And thus, miraculous counsel is given by this godlike king. The Mighty God is the strongest of these titles in Israel. It's always used of God and never refers to man. Now, we're talking here two Hebrew words. Givor means hero. Together they describe one who is indeed God himself. Everlasting Father literally means Father of eternity. He alone is the source of eternal life. Prince of Peace indicates that the mighty God will be a benevolent ruler bringing eternal peace on earth through the establishment of his kingdom. Thus, the obscure figure of Emmanuel is now brought to clear light. He is himself God incarnate. You see, most has always thought the Lord Jesus as being just the second person of the Trinity. But he's not. And it has taken a long time for me to gain the knowledge that God has given me here in this last year. He called me into the ministry many years back. And I was used. But there was still that lack of knowledge and depth of God's word that had still been missing. That God in this last year has revealed to me. Now, you see, but he tells you himself there in the word, it's not my word that says that he is God incarnate. Jesus is. Now, 8, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it has lightened upon Israel, and all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of the heart. Now, 10, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with you. Stones and sycamore are cut down, but we will change them into cedar. They're going to change them trees into cedar instead of using sycamore. But anyway, we're going to stop there here in the book of Isaiah. We're going to go over here to Matthew, the 9th chapter, and pick up here where we left off the other night. Because you see, we're going to be picking up now with Jesus' ministry and with the works he's doing, because he is expecting a lot of things out of us today that he is not getting. He's not receiving it. Now, here in verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Now, 2, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, you see, statements like that is what got Jesus into a lot of trouble. That statement right there in 2. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes and within themselves this man blasphemeth. They're calling him a blasphemer over him, telling this man his sins are forgiven. Because they have no understanding of who he is. And they are denying the things, a lot of things that he will do and say. For, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Well, you see, it's the heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is living. And it's from the heart that either good or bad comes from within us. Now, 5. For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. He knows what they're thinking. So now he's asked them this question. But that they may know, but that ye may know, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. So now he's told him to raise, take up his bed, and go into his house. And 7. And he done exactly what Jesus told him to do. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. But you see, he's not the only one that God has given that power to. We have it. It was given to us. We don't use it because we've never learned how. We have really never learned how to receive things that God has given us. And most of the time, we all pray and we're asking God to come down and take care of this for us, that for us, and the other for us. It's already been done. It was done 2,000 years ago. What has to be done is we have to accept it. But still, we have to stand in faith because we don't know whether it will be instantly done or if God, for his reason, is going to let it take a little time. And you see, because his reasons are not ours. And his thoughts are not like ours, that's for sure. Now, 9, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. No argument. He just rose and followed him. You know, a lot of us wonder how these men got picked to be his 12 disciples. But it was because they obeyed. No argument, no thought about it. They just got up and done what he told them to do. Now, and it came to pass as Jesus sat down at meat in the house, behold, publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And you see, this is another thing he's doing that's not going to be like. The Jewish leaders of that day and time, not going to like that at all. because that's not the way they think. 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? You see, they already, and you know, if they are that much against him, and they are seeing these things come about, what do you think they're going to do with you and I when we speak the truth of God's word instead of things that are contrary to it and making things as we want instead of the will and way of Almighty God? Now, when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come to those that were walking in righteousness or was walking with God. He came for the sinner. Now, which really was all of mankind, because until he came and became our sacrifice, we were all sinners. Now, and just like with them asking that question, really they had no right to ask it because they wasn't doing any better. And they sure wasn't righteous. It should have been, because they were supposed to be the elite of Israel, but they wasn't. Now, 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? Just anything they can think of in order to be against him. Now, his disciples right now not fasting. 15. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast. Our fasting didn't start until after his death and resurrection. Really? Now, 16. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. 17. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottle break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottle perish. But they that put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. But the bottles they're talking about in this day and time were not glass bottles.
Jars.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Yeah, they were not made of glass at all. They were skins. And as that old wine would ferment, it would cause those skins and things to tear. Well, they're calling it break here when they put it over into English. Now, you know, there in 16 and 17, the principle expressed here is that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to bring in a whole new dispensation, which cannot be fitted into the forms of the old Jewish economy. And the principle taught here by illustration is that the rule of the law must be replaced by that of grace, which will now have free reign in the heart of all believers. New cult means unblemished cult. Models, skins, were frequently used in the ancient East as liquid containers, and the strength of the fermentation of the new wine would be too much for the partly worn old art and elastic skins and would cause them to break. So you see, there is a lot of things that we need to really understand, and that's why we need the study of God's Word. Most don't like to study. Now, I do. I love to study. But most don't. And that's why it's so hard for us to get people into the study. And they'll think up all kinds of excuses, and they'll put everything they can between the study and what they really want to do. And they do that not realizing that what they are doing is they are putting those things between them and Almighty God. Just because they want to be lazy. I don't want to take the time to listen. I don't want to hear it. I don't need to hear it. I got my own thoughts. I got my own beliefs. And I don't need to hear that. Then you're probably going to miss something that you really needed to keep you out of hell. Now, 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. You know, that's what you call faith.
Yeah.
And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now he's got his disciples with him. 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Well, we're talking about faith here in both of these. This man that is asking to come and touch his daughter and she would be healed because he knew that and he was standing on that. Now this woman, she told herself that just to touch the hem of his garment. Now, 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. It happened quickly, all at once. 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the ministerials and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleep. To him she sleep. To mankind she is dead, but to him she sleep. And they laughed him to scorn. Now they're laughing and mocking him. Because he said, she's asleep. She ain't dead, she's asleep. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the saying hereof went abroad unto all that land. Do you know? There are so many out here that needs his help. But they need to be and get themselves away from those that will mock them and laugh at them, because a lot of times that will cause them to have doubt. And with doubt, nothing will work. It takes that full faith of knowing this is happening. Now, he went in, but you see, he put them forth, he put them all out. He wouldn't let them all go in with him, because he didn't want that unbelief in the room. And he took her by the hand, and she arose. Now, 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him and said unto, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. You see, now, 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man. Look at the different things that he's dealing with. They brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel.
Uh-oh.
34. But the Pharisees said, He casts out devils through the prince of the devils. In other words, he's the devil himself now.
Can't do nothing right.
No. Now, 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, but you know the main thing we are told in his word by the Lord himself, that all that believe in him, the things he done, we could do.
Yes.
And he said, greater than these will they do. And he told us why. He said, because I go back to the Father. He's going back to heaven. But then he came back to us as the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. It's not us that's doing it. It is the Holy Spirit that works through us. But we have to keep this vessel clean and pure and in faith so that he can work within us. Now, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And we are standing today in great need of laborers to work in the field of harvest. They'll say, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, but they do nothing. They're sitting back doing absolutely nothing. They're not sharing the gospel with no one else. They're not spending time in his word. They're not spending time with him in prayer. And yet, they claim to be a child of God, but one day they're going to stand before him, and the things they're going to hear, they're not going to want to hear. And they're going to find out that they're way short, and it's too late then. Because once you step out of this life and into the next, it's too late. You're going to go on to be wherever you're going to spend eternity. Whether that'll be in heaven with Jesus or in hell with Satan. And I can't speak to no one but me. I don't want no part of hell. I don't want no part of Satan. I've had and fought with him enough here on this earth. I sure don't need to be in a place with him. And now, we are in the season that man set aside for his birth. We know he wasn't born in December. We know that. But they set aside. There's nothing wrong with celebrating it because we are to celebrate that at all times anyway. We need to remember each and every day. But let's keep this holiday for the worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And not worry about Christmas trees, Santa Claus, sleds, and reindeer. Because look what that calls. Very few actually stop and think about it. Really. Of what it really causes. When you look and you really walk and believe the old Christians. I'm going to give you just a minute to think there. To see what you come up with on your own. In thinking about it. You see, they took his birthday and took it out of the time, but they set a time aside and it was supposed to be to worship him, and they made a pagan holiday out of it. And they have caused us to lie year after year after year after year. What did the Bible say to us about lying? You go to heaven with a lie on you, you ain't going to make heaven your home. That's in book 2. But we lied every year, especially those of us that are married and had children. Tell our children, you better be good. Santa Claus won't come to see you. I know I've done it. Until I learned better. But they made a pagan holiday out of it. So we have now come to the end of chapter 9 here in Matthew. We're going to stop here for this morning. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel. Pray for them to have peace. We pray mostly, Father, for them all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, that is filled with so much evil right now, that has been brought upon us by those that are sitting in our high offices of our government, Father, that are evil, and that has brought this evil upon this land by proclaiming things good, evil, and evil things good, having mankind to accept these evil things as not being bad, such as homosexuality, Father. They have brought it to mankind out here. The homosexuality, nothing wrong with it. It's just an alternate lifestyle. But we know, Father, that your word tells us it is an abomination unto you. Now, Father, pray that those that are evil in these high places be removed from office and replaced with those, Father, that are yours, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, loves your church, loves your people, and loves this land, that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I now pray, Father, for those that listen to this study, Father, and those that have this ministry as being theirs. And Father, for those that I know that are standing in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I lift up Jenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue Branson, for Debbie and Daryl, for my wife, Father, for myself, and for all of those in Brandenburg Nursing Home, Father. May the Spirit touch each and every one, moving them close, Father, unto salvation and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we separate for this day, I ask, Father, that you keep us in health, keep us safe, and bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. This is my prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless.
All right. Have a good day, all.